Well, the one thing that stays with me now, that's the easiest, is that if you have enough time, given enough time, and you want a thing badly enough, you'll figure out a way to get there. And the big thing I took from it is to be very patient and know that if you just move deliberately day in, day out, to try to make little steps, eventually a big thing will happen.
What's up, my friend? I'm health expert Ted Rice, and welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. Super excited for this episode for you today. I've got Ed Lattimore on the podcast. If you're not familiar with Ed Lattimore, he's going to be sharing the methods and strategies he used to turn his life around. From growing up in the ghetto and being a screw-up in his 20s, to becoming a professional boxer, to joining the National Guard, to pursuing a degree in physics, to becoming a competitive chess player, and to becoming an entrepreneur who makes money online by inspiring and helping others improve their mindset. And I connected with Ed on Twitter, really appreciate what he does there. He's got like 200,000 followers or something like that. I might be off on the followers, but it's like it's over 100,000. You know, I have like 3,000 or something. He's just created this great engaged community on Twitter. And I know Twitter is a bit of a wild, wild west, let's say. But there's guys like Ed on there, sharing things that can help you take your life to the next level. And here he is today to help you take your mindset to the next level in this interview. Now, before I get to the interview with Ed, I want to ask you, how are you doing with your health and fitness? How would you like to have me as your coach for 7 days, teaching you what my clients pay me really good money for? All for free, all in 7 days. And you'll lose 2, 3, or even 4 pounds in the process. Well, the place to go and do that is legendarylifepodcast.com/challenge. But here's the thing, it's an exclusive challenge. We only let 50 people at a time in the group. If you're late, you'll have to go on the waiting list. So take action now. Go to legendarylifepodcast.com/challenge. If you'd like me to coach you on nutrition and exercise and get you results, to show you that you can get results in 1 week with the right strategies. All right, without further ado, let's get to the conversation with Ed Lattimore. Ed Lattimore, thanks so much for coming back on and doing this, man. Pleasure to have you.
Hey, no problem. Hopefully the technical issues will stay at bay, but I'm pretty sure they will, because we know how they were caused and now we know how they're fixed.
Right on. Well, listen, in case you're listening right now, don't know what we're talking about because the first episode didn't get released. The first interview, we had a little technical issues and so we had to come back on. But I know we had so much fun the first time around. I know we're gonna just top it this time.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and you know, stuff happens in between stuff things, and maybe it'll be things to talk about, maybe not. Who knows, man? But
yeah, and I'll just kick it off like this. You know, you're a former pro boxer, competitive chess player, full-time author. You also have a degree in physics, but you also have this story where you grew up in a tough environment, tough neighborhood, and I can only imagine what you had to go through to get to where you are now. And the theme that I have for this show that is coming to me right now, or, you know, when I was thinking about you, is like the path to healing from trauma that you've been through, tough upbringing that you've been through, or performing at a high level for your business when the stress is on. It's kind of the same thing, at least the way I look at it. What about you?
We have this idea in fighting, and it's once you've been in the ring and you've boxed a few times, not just sparred, but like been in some live matches and everything, the rest of the world seems very fuzzy, for lack of a better phrase. You know, nothing really pops out at you because what you've done is you've elected to voluntarily put yourself in a situation that spikes all of your senses and demands so much from you physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so the rest of reality does not demand, in fact, if anything, pushes you the other way, you know, where you don't have to rely so much on your wit or your physical abilities or your social skills to survive anymore. Everything else seems really simple. And I always remember that when I made the transition kind of out of fighting and into doing things my way. You know, there are things you're afraid of. You know, you're afraid of things not going well. You're afraid of, you know, being broke, whatever. But you also get to pull on that experience. You can go, okay, if I made it through this and I did this way, and I know how I did it. It's not just I made it through, so I feel on top of it all. It's no, you did it a certain way. And so you know that if you approach it deliberately, you approach it methodically, you are focused, you know that pain, that discomfort is just part of the journey, and it's not really a deterrent. If anything, it's a signal that you're on the right path. Then it's easy. I really feel that way. Like I think the best part about going through difficult things that legitimately put your physical well-being in harm's way is that you get to see, you know, if you can escape from that and you do so with a sharp mind, not berserker, you get lucky, then, you know, trying to grow my website or grow a Twitter, it's like, okay, let's just figure out what works and let's just do that. And let's not get our ego involved and have a good time. I tell people all the time when I'm working with them and they're trying to grow their Twitter, that you can't take any of these people even remotely seriously. They're not real. They're real in a sense that like someone is behind the keyboard typing things up, but their words and ideas, you know, if they get in your head, then you're not, then they may force you to do or type something that ruins your efforts, gets you banned, blocks, spend all that kind of stuff. And no, stay sharp. So that's the main idea there, that going through one thing makes a lot, going through one thing of a certain degree or a certain type makes a lot of other things much easier to do.
Yeah. You know, in my experience, I found the same thing. So I started out, I went to some tough schools in Miami. I grew up there, as I was telling you earlier before we hopped on and started recording. Ended up getting into martial arts a bit later, then getting into Brazilian jiu-jitsu in my late 20s. I wasn't like, I had been through some tough stuff. I think I shared with you last time, you know, my brother was kidnapped and murdered. My sister committed suicide. I had some trauma, in other words, right? And man, going through the martial arts process and ending up getting my brown belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and competing, you know, no world champion here, but won more of the local tournaments than I lost. And the big lesson I took away from it, I wasn't a pro like you, but for me, the whole situation that you so eloquently shared with us, it's like, once you go through that, you're okay. And my question to you, because it's something I've been thinking about, I had a conversation about this with the guy who helped me, a coach of mine who helped me get super lean. And he's like, well, what are your like secrets? And for me, martial arts is something that it just gives you an edge that lifting weights can't do, that doing cardio can't do, that doing even rock climbing can't do, in my experience at least. And I try to get some of my clients to at least do some self-defense, take some boxing classes, do something, Krav Maga, something, just so you get a little taste of it. In your experience, is there anything that you think compares to the type of stress and the type of growth that you go through when you're put in a situation mano a mano or woman to woman? Don't know what that is in I don't know what that is, Latin or whatever, but like, is there a situation, do you think, or a type of sport or activity that gives you the edge that some, that martial arts training will do, whether it's boxing, jiu-jitsu, MMA, Muay Thai, whatever?
Exactly. No, because I think the appeal of fighting is that it forces you to use everything, your physical, your mental, your emotional, you know, your psychological. Some guys get in there and get spiritual, you know, you really start to, you have to kind of pull everything together all at once to make it through the challenge. I don't think there's anything left that on this, and I don't know if there ever was really, that forces you to do that without any support from another person as well. So you're in there alone, you know, you're confronting a lot of things that, and in such a concentrated space as well, you know, 3 minutes times four times six, whatever you're in there for. In such a concentrated amount of time, and there's so much preparation up to it, that you could go lift and train, but there's no, you know, there's no stakes. There's no, you know, you didn't make your PR. Okay, boo. I mean, not boo. I don't mean to like downplay it, but like, you know, you don't make your personal, right? But what I mean is like, there's no penalty in the sense that there's both an external or internal and external bit of criticism that comes, and it's not constructive. You know, if you're in there working out with a trainer and you mess up, yeah, he's gonna help you get up. Now people are gonna make fun of you and boo you, and you know, then you're gonna feel like crap. And you know, it takes a lot to really move past that and get on with your life and learn how to deal with that over and over again.
What's your record, wins and losses and draws?
Professional 13-1-1.
Yeah. So I think it would be interesting to talk about, like, here's what I learned, and I'm curious what you took away. You don't have a lot of losses to talk about, which is awesome.
Oh, I mean, well, which is what the amateurs are for, but like, you know,
right.
Got a so lot maybe there, we can, but that's what we you're can, supposed to do.
Yeah. And so maybe you can break that open. And I'm very curious to hear you, you know, what you learned from the wins versus losses. But I'll tell you what I learned. I happened to be lucky enough to be in Miami, probably at the time I was there, multiple world champions. So many I can't even remember them all. And what I learned was there was no way, unless I lived in the gym, trained twice a day, basically lived like a jiu-jitsu monk and did that, there's no way I was going to catch up to these guys. They had been on the mat since they were 6 years old or maybe even younger sometimes. What I learned was I could get better. I could use my smarts. But the big thing that I took away, Ed, was that they could beat me physically, but they could never beat me psychologically. And that's where I kind of had to go, right? So they would tap me out, and I would just keep coming back for the entire round. I would keep coming back. I would not relent. And kind of hurt my body, have a few aches and pains from that type of thing. But I've taken that perspective, that mentality into growing my business, into solving problems in my life. I just always believe like you can beat me in something, like the coronavirus is kind of, you know, beating us a little bit in that it's taking control of our situation, but it's like, I'm gonna find a way to win here, even if it's just psychologically. And I'm curious because with me, I did local tournaments against high level guys for sure, competed with a top guy in the world at the time, you know, and lost. but you've done amateur, you've done pro. Talk about what did you take away from the losses on the way to being a pro, and how do you look at all the experiences, the wins, the losses? What did you learn the most from? What stays with you now that you're not fighting?
Well, the one thing that stays with me now, that's the easiest, is that if you have enough time, given enough time, and you want a thing badly enough, you'll figure out a way to get there. And my career is really a great example of that kind of thing, where, you know, when I realized that a coach wasn't working, I switched coaches, and then I went and switched to another place, and then I realized the place wasn't working, but I needed a way kind of out of it. I switched out and just kept making incremental moves and incremental steps, and also being very aware of myself. You know, one of the reasons, I mean, there were other contributing factors, but a significant reason behind my decision to stop drinking was I thought that I have this wonderful shot, and it would be foolish for me to not maximize how far I could go with it. All right, so you start to learn all these little things that come together and make it, and you get to see, okay, this is what happens when you put your mind to something and you're patient. That's the other thing too. There are tons of guys, a lot of people don't notice, there's nothing that says you have to be an amateur. You can just turn pro if you want to. A lot of guys do that because they don't want, especially guys who start fighting when they're adults, as I did, because they don't want to they want to fight for money, not prizes, is what I've heard, right? But the amateurs are there to develop you. And furthermore, it prevents you from being used as an opponent, you know, because how good can you be? And if you don't know, like boxing, you know, to build a guy, you have to keep developing them against fighters and fighters. But you don't want them to lose, but you want them to get tested. And no better way to do that, especially initially, is against guys who don't have a deep amateur pedigree, who haven't developed the skills, and who haven't been there in enough fights and really have learned the game and really learned it, not just operating on like technique, but they're like at the point where they're kind of forgetting things, and they go in there and move and fight well. So that's the big thing I took from it, is to be very patient and know that if you just move deliberately day in, day out, and try to make little steps, eventually a big thing will happen. That's one thing that stayed, you know, that drove me to be able to go and study physics. So I was, you know, a terrible math student prior to all of that. And then I said, okay, I need to study something. And I wasn't going to study just anything, because that would have been also a waste of time. So I decided on physics. It just was the best mix of everything that I thought would make sense to kind of go after. But I did, you know, I didn't have the confidence to make that attempt when I was younger and tried to go to college the first time. No way. That is a direct result of seeing what happened with boxing and the seeing, you know, I can move, make little steps, practice. If I can do this, what else can I do? It's pretty much how I've come to approach the world. And a lot of that I owe to fighting. On the other end of it, you know, even talking about the things you take from losses. I mean, it's not, I've always said that, like, you know, this is not the worst thing that's going to happen to me. And you learn, and you say it initially, you say it intellectually, you say it because someone told you that you should think that, and it makes sense to say, and it's comforting in the moment, whatever. But then over time, I started to really believe that. And then I got really tested on that idea when I lost as a professional, because when you lose as a first, you know, I lose in front of all these people in a very embarrassing fashion. And I have to go back to that. I go, okay, this is going to be, this won't be the worst thing to ever happen to me. It wasn't the worst thing to happen to me at that point, but I'm saying it, not just not really believing it. And then over time, I can look back and I go, wow, because of that, all of the other great things happened. And they didn't just happen. I had to, like, make them happen. But I was able to make them happen, is the idea, right? And so you get to do that, and you get to have so much fun thinking this way. You get to really go, okay, this was part of my life, and I learned a lot from it. And let's move on now. but I can move on without thinking, oh goodness, I really blew it. You know, I can move on knowing that I put quite a bit of energy and effort into it, and I got so much out of it, not just from a physical development standpoint, but socially and emotionally. And now I have a real, not a skill set, right? Because what am I going to do with boxing? I have a way to look at the world, and it goes, okay, I just take a little time and do this. So it's like my website, right? No one wants to do SEO, and no one wants to do that because that takes a long time. I mean, like, it's a long time, and there's no certainty either. But if you do the right things repeatedly, you put positive odds in your favor as opposed to negative ones, and eventually something's going to hit, something's going to strike, and you're going to be like, ah, it was all worth it, right? And that's how I look at things. I've got a few lucky breaks in my career, but how lucky were they? I had to work my ass off. You know, I think about how I ended up training out in California as an amateur, approaching the 2012 games, Olympic games that I was, you know, trying to make a shot and run for. Right? I only ended up out there with someone paying for my training and my place to live because when no one was paying for it, I was working very hard and training because I didn't know what opportunities would come. But I had no idea that I would draw the guy who represented California in the first round of a national tournament. But I was ready for whoever I was going to fight, and I go and win, and that gets the attention of people in California. And so that's what happens. These things, you gotta have everything. You have to work. you have to. You there's no guarantees. There's that. It could have meant nothing. Like I could have walked. Nothing could have happened. I could have drew a dud, But I also could have gotten knocked out in the first round in that fight, and it wouldn't have made a difference. Because I had spent so much time training, I was able to unlock an opportunity to set up another opportunity to set up another opportunity. So that's what I really take from the career.
What I hear what comes to me, the lesson that I take away from your story, the lesson I take away from my own too, and I try to impart, is that we all have goals, desires, achievements we want to do in our life. Most of us, unfortunately, get stuck behind the TV, stuck in jobs we don't like, coming home, living vicariously through movies and series, which I love movies and series like everyone else. But I do it when I'm resting from all the hard work that I've been putting in. And what I hear from you, from your story, it's like, boxing, what I learned from boxing, what you learned, in other words, you learned a way of looking at the world, a way of being patient, a perspective, a mentality, a mindset where like it's helped you succeed in other areas. And for me, it's been the same. I'm very curious though, what got you into boxing in the first place?
I needed something to do, man. I wish I had a more complicated answer than that. I mean, there's a long story behind it. It's not really though. I was 21, 22, somewhere in that time frame, and I had just been in a relationship with somebody for like 4 years, and it was like all I did was try and make sure I could see that person every day. And then one day, but I was also on this like anti-college rail, which was goofy because it was her mother was a college professor. And one day she challenged me and said, hey, you know, okay, you say college is worthless. Well, what have you done for the past 4 years at all? And I was like, huh, okay. So I was like, I got to go put some sweat equity in somewhere. And I was like, you know, I was at minimum wage. I could fighting. I can go box. Like I said, how much is it? It was free to box too, because it was through like the city. A lot of big cities have of their.
Where'd you grow up, Ed?
Pittsburgh, PA.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Most cities, I don't know how it works like overseas, but most cities, They have a free anything run with USA Boxing, I think, is free. They don't charge the amateurs to train. I don't think they can charge the amateurs to train. But so I said, let me go start this. And I said, you know, I'm not gonna quit. So I'm either gonna get beat out or injured out, one or the other. And I mean, it was crazy. People think I'm exaggerating when I say this. You know, most of my career, I didn't have health insurance or anything like that. You know, you just you figure it out, man. And but that's how I got started. I just stuck with it. And I just kept having little successes and kept trying to get better and better and better. And before I knew it, I was getting more opportunities and just really trying to improve and grow.
Now you're living the dream.
Yeah. You know, funnily enough, one would say, oh, it's got nothing to do with boxing. I'm like, yeah, it's got everything to do with boxing. Like everything. Like,
what do you mean? What you're doing now? Like your success now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because one, you know, a lot of people cared because I started fighting, and that's an interesting story. So that's something I can like parlay and run behind. But there's also the mentality of how I approach and how I work towards things. And I've learned how to kind of make connections and deal with people. That's also important. So all of these things came together and they all really started with boxing. I mean, I think about where my life would be if I had decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go fight. Like, I don't know what else I would have done. I think I toyed with the idea of joining the active military at one point. Because, I mean, I just didn't know anything and didn't have any other prospects. But I was like, you know what? I got to put some sweat equity in somewhere. I have to improve my life some way. And this is that's what I chose.
This episode is sponsored by Organifi. Do you want to know a secret that all my coaching clients follow? It's really simple, but powerful. Add vegetables into each meal. But let's be honest, most of us, including myself, don't eat the recommended servings of vegetables and fruits each day. So for those of us who are on the go or have trouble eating healthy, having a greens powder makes it easy to get your greens in every single day, no matter how busy you are. And that's why I use and recommend Organifi Green Juice, a superfood powder that you just add water to so that you can get your greens in even when you're on the go. The best thing about Organifi Green Juice is that it actually tastes great. But don't believe me, try it for yourself. And use the code TED20, that's capital T-E-D, the number 20, at www.organifi.com. That's Organifi.com to receive 20% off your first order. But hurry, this is a limited time discount for Legendary Life listeners. Now, back to the episode. Man, that's a great question that everyone should ask themselves, because I feel like a lot of people feel like they're putting in sweat equity, but what they're really doing is staying comfortable in something. They're staying uncomfortably comfortable is how I characterize it. It's like, oh gosh, it's so hard. It's hard because, I mean, I work really hard with what I do now, but I'm so excited to do it. I love being here talking to you right now. I love coaching my clients. I love writing the programs for them. I love seeing the results. Hard work takes hours and hours and hours.
Right. And it is, there is no guarantee. I always, after every sell I have or every level up I get, you know, somewhere, whether it be followers or website or whatever, I always stop to really go, man, it could have gone another way, but it went this way. I'm always grateful. You never stop being grateful because this is very much like kill what you eat kind of deal. Like, there ain't no, you know, no one is going to give me like, am I getting paid for this time? Yeah, maybe. I mean, you'll expose me to another audience I don't know, and maybe that person purchases from me. But this is all like, I mean, this takes just time, and you just keep building and building, and there's no certainty. And until one day you wake up, like quite literally. I mean, I haven't done this. Maybe I should at some point. I could create a non-dollar ebook program, put it out there, and convert 1% of my audience and make $90,000 that day. Like I remember probably could, or that month or whatever. I never tried it, but I feel like I could because I know what I've done before, you know. So that's where that is for life, man.
And what do you see as the big struggles? Like you attract a lot of people with your message. You're funny as hell, right? You got a great sense of humor. You're fun to talk to. You're down to earth guy. I've met a lot of, I interviewed a lot of people, and sometimes you're like, man, this guy is, or even woman, very different than their persona. Very different. And, you know, you keep it real and I appreciate that. What are the big struggles? Why is your message attracting people? What is it that you feel you're giving them that they're not getting from other places in their life?
You know, I was actually forced to think about this a lot recently. And one of the things I think people see is I'm actually everything from the ground, you know, no matter what, it's all real. Like there's like I've done a very good job of making people feel like they're looking at my life, me, my thoughts, my journey, all that. And it's not just the regular person. There's a real arc. You know, there's the start, there are the challenges, they continue the show. I try to always interact and be humble and nice and deal with everyone and try to help and genuinely try to help. You know, that's I'm in a fortunate position. And this has nothing to do with any money, but in the sense that I was one way and now I'm no longer that way. And it was done by there were steps taken, there were actions taken. There was a way to be better and be me. And I did that, right? And so they look and they can see, okay, whoa, this is a real dude. You know, he's got, you know, I'm not just, you know, shooting off rent generic platitudes or just always something. No, like there's a sense of humor behind the thing. I'm always I try to make jokes, and if a thing makes me laugh, I try to put it out there, make people laugh or shock some folks, or but also give them good information. What I definitely avoided our divisive ideas. You know, I don't talk about politics. Don't talk about race. There's just like, how can we bring some people together? But it's how I am reality. I mean, there's no, I'm me. And I think who I am has made people go, okay, he did that. I can do it too. Cause I feel like that's a real dude. So that's what I think that a lot of my people don't, or my people, my competitors, for lack of a better word, peers is a better word. My peers in this space who do something very similar. I say I had to think about this a lot recently because one of the things we did for redesigning my website and kind of the image we want to, you know, run with and take is we looked at some other guys in the space doing similar things with a similar message. And one of the things that always, you know, that stands out about, you know, what makes me unique is the story and the transparency, very transparent to a fault, actually. In fact, recently, one of the things that I resolved to do, we just moved into this new apartment, is a lot of people had my old apartment address. I got people send a lot of stuff. People would show up, right, whatever. But I was like, well, but the girlfriend.
Ed, you home, Ed?
Yeah, you know, but they pretty much, I don't think anyone would do that, but they could do that. I didn't like have it out there because there's like, you know, identity thieves. But like the girlfriend's like, you know, you got to stop giving the address out. I'm like, you know, you're probably right. Like we started new. So now we have like a virtual mailbox that I can have things like sent to and then have it sent to me. And that's what I got to say, I'll start using. But no, overall, the thing that makes a big difference, transparency, real story, i.e. the receipts, and the fact that I try to show as much of who I am, not what I want you to see, you know, so. And dude, you know what? Part of it too. One thing I do use is like if I know, since I know, I mean, 114,000 people follow me, right? 17,000-ish on Instagram. I probably should be a little bit aware. I'm aware of like what I say and how, not so much how that's going to make me appear, but how that's going to be used against me. if someone decides to use it against me. So I have to think about this. And so it forces my behavior to be to an even higher standard, you know, which is how I think you should use social media anyway. You know, everyone's like, oh, you know, I want to be anonymous and say this and think that. My thought is, oh, I don't want to be anonymous because in this way, I'm accountable for my words and actions.
I like that a lot. And especially on Twitter, the anonymity. Yeah, let's not get into that.
Well, you know, no one,
big can
of
worms.
One thing I've learned is that no one is really anonymous. And if somebody, you're only, what did my buddy say? He was telling me a story about how he got a skip tracer once and really broke down how the game is done. And then I get confirmed from someone else who used to work in InfoSec. He's like, what is the saying? You're only as anonymous as the motivation and resources are of the person who want to find you. That's pretty much it. If you get on in this day and age, if you get on the internet, I Googled and I was shocked. I learned how to trace the IP address of an email sent to me. So if you don't scramble your email, you know, an IP, I can at the very least narrow it down to what city and what part of that city, if it's big enough, you're sending me an email from. And that is enough. You message somebody back and be like, I know you mentioned where they're at. It's enough to freak them out, man. And then, you know, with that combined, you can look to figure out through someone's email address, their social media handle and vice versa. I just like entertained and learned myself and learned a bunch of tricks. And I was like, huh. It ain't that like somebody who they did this for a living. If somebody came to me and was like, here's $1,000. I need you to find this handle. Probably, I mean, even if it's a straight dummy throwaway account, you can really get to work and find out a lot about a person. And I don't think people realize, like, the minute they get on, they're out there. There ain't no anonymity, at least not on these, you know, anonymity. It's not the dark web. You know, this is stuff with servers, you know, that track you. Well, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Andrew Tate, but he said something that one day that blew my mind. He said, everyone's trying to be off the grid. I want to be on all the grids. I was like, that makes sense because I was saying this in an email. I said, you know, by definition, when you're anonymous, you have something to hide. And so when you come against somebody who does not have something to hide, you're at an automatic disadvantage. You have an attack point. You're hiding your identity, and if they care enough, they'll figure out who you are, right? But if you're trying to exist on all the grids, like, no one can come after me. Like, at least, like, that's what it is. No one can come after me in any way that's not going to get them put in jail, you know? Because I try to live as, you know, authentically, and I don't make any outrageous claims. I'm who I am.
I think the lesson where we're talking about is really about integrity, right? And if you're hiding yourself on social media, especially the Twitter people who do that, lack integrity. But
I want to preface this. I want to say, like, it's no guarantee that you're trying to hide something. This is for the people that from the veil of anonymity, and I can't even say that word anymore. From the veil of anonymity, they try to attack, harass, and disparage people. All right. Most of us are going to keep it moving. We got just better things to do. Somebody won't, though. And you don't know who that person is. You know, look, it could be me. I could have a dark streak and some extra cash. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to find out who this motherfucker is. And I'm going to put the fear into him and force him to make a move, you know. But
good point, Ed. To bring it back, I think it's true. I don't know how many people who listen to this show are like that. Only there are, like you said, some people who have to, I know some people who have to stay off social media because of their jobs. They work in security, cybersecurity, et cetera. But what you were talking about, and I think maybe something more relatable for those of us who don't mess around on Twitter anonymously, is that there are a lot of us anonymous, going through anonymous in our lives, meaning we put on masks and pretend to be something we're not, live other people's dreams. We're not ourselves. We don't say what we truly want. And I don't mean like some emotional outburst, but asking your boss for a raise, having that hard talk with your partner. And it's living out of integrity with yourself when you do that, because you're putting a version of yourself out there that isn't really you. I don't think you can ever be happy doing that.
No.
Go for it. You got a follow-up? Share, please.
Oh, no. What I was going to say is, look, I was thinking about the whole idea, and this will make sense at first. It will seem somewhat unrelated. The idea of like hiring a ghostwriter. You'll have a book, but you didn't write it. And I think about like how awful it would feel if I got all of this attention for, and people praise my thought process and what I created, because somebody else wrote it. And they're not going to, they just want to be the ghostwriter. I can't understand that end either. Like, I'm going to write this and you'll pay me a fee up front, but you know, I don't want anything to do with it. This is all you. I can't understand either extreme, because to me, it's all one thing. Whatever you do and say and live, I try to have it all be unified for better or worse. It's kind of like the reason why, like, I thought I was going to be interested in e-commerce, but I was like, well, no, man, I'm going to write and have my name and build a name. And not really interested in building something else, even if I had the skill to do so, you know? So it's a lot easier. I feel like life is a lot easier anyhow when you just make who you are the best version of yourself instead of trying to be another thing. And in doing so, maybe you have tremendous success with this alter ego, but it's still an alter ego, and that's a lot of energy. You know, I'm surprisingly lazy in this regard. I think that if I'm going to expend energy, I would like to expend it building up myself. I personally don't see anything crazy about building yourself as the brand. I think it's crazy that someone would go, let me separate and build this and let me separate and build that. So,
yeah. What you said though, the problem with it is that working on yourself requires getting really uncomfortable, requires humility, requires what you mentioned on your way to becoming a pro boxer, the work. And it's so much easier, or at least it feels easier short term. It gets really hard. There's a guy who I really appreciate a lot, Rory Kilmartin, who's like this world famous relationship expert guy. And he said, the easy way becomes the hard way and the hard way becomes the easy way. It's just, you don't feel it at first. It feels so easy to stay stuck. It feels so easy not to have that conversation with your partner or ask your boss for the raise or whatever it is. Take your health seriously. Stop doing the quick fix diets. But you end up stuck. You end up with dieting. Oh man, yo-yo dieting. you end up in all these situations, or what you said, living that alter ego life. You make the money and then you're like, I don't want to be an attorney anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. What would you say to someone struggling with that right now?
Oh, they've gone down one path. Oh man, that's such an unfortunate situation to me, because I just think like you could be like you don't need stuff, right? Because the thing about what like drives people to make decisions to live another way and be another way, not who they are. They think that there's something more valuable about that existence. But what they fail to realize is that anything attained under the veil of inauthenticity, right? Whether it be a job or a career, our relationship, anything attained under that veil is eventually going to come home to roost. You're going to have to deal with the fact that you don't really, you're not, I mean, if you're not really passionate about it, you just chose for the money, Oh, one day you're going to have enough money. and maybe even before then, you're going to be like, God, I got to go in again, right? Or like if you pick the wrong person because you think this is the type of person you got to be with, you're gonna just wake up every day and just resent them. Like, it's going to be, I can't believe you're talking again. Why are you making noise from your mouth and you're breathing too? Like, why is, you know, all of that is going to go on because you selected with the wrong criteria. I don't know what the right criteria is, but I know, I don't know what is right for the individual, but I know that it's gotta be right for the individual. And when you go and you make decisions, like, dude, you know, I have a, you know, like with myself personally, thinking about what was like important to me. What's important to me is being able to do this kind of thing whenever I want to, as long as I make enough money to eat, have good food, hang out, watch a great movie, have some popcorn with my girl. Like, you know, that's important to me. I don't need to, you know, kill myself making, you know, and try to become a millionaire to do so. And now if I happen to do it in the process, great. Not the goal, right? Same with my relationship. I'm very happy with my very like nerdy worldly girlfriend. I always feel like I learn something new hanging out with her and I have fun doing so. And you know, it's not like we have to go out to some crazy, you know, bar every time we go out or something like that, or structure things around alcohol or whatever. And that's good because that's no longer part of my life. So finding that person but is good for me. But imagine, I think about this just for myself. Imagine if I ended up with somebody who was like, that was their life. Eventually, I'd have to go through some pain as I'm fond of myself. And this is going to be like, I got to rip this, get out of this relationship and split kind of deal. And it's not going to be a good time. It's not going to be a pleasant experience. So it's when you go after things authentically, you tend to make decisions that are going to make you happy. And I think confronting yourself and figuring out what you want in life is really always going to be an important thing to do, so you don't waste time.
So many of us do waste time.
Yeah,
luckily,
very true.
Luckily, I got into a situation, kind of stumbled, bumbled my way into health and fitness, and it's kept going and it's evolved into this. And I can say I'm living 100% authentically in alignment, in congruence with what I want to do. I want to keep moving forward, of course, but man, I love the path I'm on. When I was training millionaires in Miami Beach and celebrities, I loved it when I first did it, but man, I was in that business 20 years and it was about 10 years, probably too long. And I'll tell you, if you're listening now, it's never too late to make that change. But the longer you wait, like you said, Ed, the more pain it's going to cause you. Feels comfortable at first, but ultimately, what did you say? It comes home to roost.
Yeah, eventually you're going to have to deal with those decisions, man. It ain't going to be, I mean, it's always good, right? But in the sense that you are finally waking up, you know, what do they say? You know, you don't throw bad time after good. And when you start getting, you know, when you stop throwing bad time after good, yeah, you're going to be good. But then what will happen? You go, oh man, if I had only figured this out years ago, right? But it is what it is. You know, I think we all have to go on our journey, and in that journey, we have to risk failure by making the wrong decision. You know, screw my, I got my cat here, and he's figured out the counter. He's been, so I'm looking at him out the corner of my eye. That's what I keep glancing at. But that's what we have to figure out. We have to figure out what's important so you don't waste time.
Absolutely. And on that note, Ed, I could keep talking to you for hours. In fact, we were talking quite a while before we even clicked record, and you're such a pleasure to converse with. but I want to respect your time as well as the time of the listeners. And what I would say is, if you like what you're hearing from Ed, you can go to his website, edlattimore.com. That's EDLATIMORE.com. EDLATIMORE.com. And check him out there. He's got a book called Not Caring What Anyone Thinks is a Superpower, where he shares the methods and strategies he used to turn his life around from growing up in the ghetto and being a screw around, as you heard the word you use, Ed, in your 20s, to finding the boxing gym, to then the National Guard, then pursuing a physics degree, and then hitting 114,000 followers on Twitter and having that level of influence. So if you enjoyed Ed, make sure you check out his website. If you're a Twitter user, definitely connect with him on Twitter. He just puts out some great information and funny, insightful. Just really appreciate what you do, Ed. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there any other place where the listeners should go to connect with you?
Twitter, mailing list, Facebook, all Ed Lattimore, you know? So I feel bad for anybody who comes after me with the name Ed Lattimore who wants to make a name on the internet, because I've sucked it all up.
I hear you. Great. Well, Ed, it was a pleasure. Hopefully this is the first of many, and enjoy the rest of your night, and I'll speak to you soon, man.
Hey, thank you. You too.
That wraps up another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ed. What was your big takeaway from this conversation today? For me, it just comes down to training. How we approach life, how we stretch ourselves in life, is how we end up responding when things go wrong. We don't rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. And so many of us, we don't stretch ourselves enough. And I've been there. I'm not judging. I've spent plenty of my years. I spent my entire 20s in a haze of marijuana smoke, the majority of it. I pulled it together towards the end of my 20s, but it was lost in a haze, a lot of it. I'm not saying that I didn't do anything, but I was definitely comfortable and could have done things differently. And had I would be in a different place now. Actually, I'm in a pretty good place now. But it would have happened faster if I just would have stretched myself. And if you want to stretch yourself, I've got two things for you. If you want to experience coaching by me for free in a week, join my challenge. People are losing 2 pounds in a week, 3 pounds, or even 4 pounds in a week through the challenge, the nutrition and exercise challenges that I give you. But here's the catch. We only take 50 people at a time in the challenge. And once it's filled up, we put you on the waiting list. So if you want to get in, if you want to take action, there's one starting at the end of this week. Go to legendarylifepodcast.com/challenge and sign up now. And what I want to tell you before we wrap things up is that the next episode is going to be about raising your standards and learning how to stretch yourself and the reasons why you should do it. So that's what's coming on Real Talk Friday. Hope you enjoyed today. Hope you're having or will have an amazing week. And I'll speak to you soon.